study. Here we go. I'll say that sentence over. Tonight, we are going to embark on a study, now that we're being recorded, that will hopefully encourage all of us. We're going to be looking at some of the women in the Gospels. And I especially wanted to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, to begin with. So the point of this study is for us to be able just to learn from different Bible characters. And I think that one of the things that, especially for the men anyway, we don't spend enough time looking at the great women in the Bible. I know the women do, and I know they have a lot of workshops and things like that in which they talk about the amazing women of the Bible, but sometimes men, we overlook that. And so I wanted us to begin with one of the greatest biblical characters of all, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you were part of the Hudson Valley ministry, then you know that we discussed, even before Christmas, we discussed Elizabeth, and we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in that relationship with her cousin Elizabeth. We talked about Anna, and all of this in the midst of the of getting ready for Christmas. Well, tonight I want to continue on with that story and look a little bit more at the birth story of Jesus. 2 years ago, I started a study of women in the Gospels. And off and on, I've been continuing on with that study. And one of the things that I did when I started that study and started looking especially at the life of Mary is I just went around the region in the Hudson Valley and didn't do a scientific survey or anything like that. Just asked different people over the years, had they heard much teaching on women in the Bible? And of course, I got more answers from the women saying, yes, I have. Men, not so much. And I asked, well, in those discussions or the teaching that you've heard of women in the Bible, how much teaching have you heard about Mary, the mother of Jesus? And most people said that they'd heard some, but not as much teaching about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And one person specifically said, no, Mary isn't discussed as much as other women. And so I asked why. And a number of different answers came back. One woman said that she believes it's because when you look at Mary, there's no real true grievous flaw in the life of Mary. And so she's probably not as easy to relate to as some of the other women in the Gospels. Another one said, well, how can anyone compare themselves to Mary, the mother of Jesus? And so we don't talk about her as much. Some thought that Mary was overlooked because she's emphasized so much in the Catholic Church, even to the point of being deified in the Catholic Church. And since Mary was canonized and deified in the Catholic Church, A number of people answered, well, that's the reason we don't talk about her as much in our church, because it's a Protestant church and not a Catholic church, and we don't talk about her as much. But here's the thing. I think that of all of the women in the New Testament that we should spend time looking at, a good deal of our looking at any of these characters should be based on Mary. Why do I say that? I say it because she is such a big part of the Gospels. Mary is the one woman. In fact, she is the one person, okay, the one person, man or woman, who is there at the opening and closing of the Gospels and continues on into the book of Acts. I mean, that's incredible. She's the one person that has the longest timeline of anyone in the Gospels. Even a longer timeline than Jesus appears in the Gospels and continues on into the book of Acts. And so if you're looking at someone that was there for the whole story, pre-story and post-resurrection part of the story, so pre-birth and post-resurrection, Mary is the one person that can tell us all about it. And I think because of that, that is one reason to look at her. But also by looking at her, we receive some great inspiration and we receive clues into ways in which we can work on our own character and work on our own lives. At a Sunday service recently in the Hudson Valley, we looked at her Magnificat, her song, and it's one of the great hymns in history. And I think because of that hymn alone, it's worth looking at her life. But there's so much more to Mary than just that hymn. When we think about Mary, there are many images that speak to the popular piety of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm sure most of us are aware of the devotion to Mary in the Catholic Church, and I'm so sure that some of you came from the Catholic Church, so you're very, very familiar with that, even more than I'm familiar with it. They call her Mother Mary. They pray to Mary, and through the centuries, people have seen visions of Mary. Some people believe that Mary healed them from their illness. And there's even an entire cult, an entire group that is devoted to religious devotion to Mary. A song was written by Schubert in 1828 and sung by countless singers over the decades. And it echoes the words of Gabriel. And you probably know the song I'm talking about. It's called Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace. And so Mary has been idolized in a way. But what we need to do is, instead of looking at Mary from that lens, try to look at Mary from a biblical lens. This is what we tend to do as people of the book. We want to just look in the Bible and see what we can learn from Mary by looking at her in the Bible. The fact is, although Mary might have been elevated too much in certain church situations, I think because that happened, there was a tendency on the group called the Stone Campbell movement, which we come out of, to not emphasize Mary. And this is true in many evangelical circles. And so there's a failing there to see the lessons that we can learn from Mary. She is a very, very important person in the biblical story. She was a very important person, obviously, in the life of Jesus. And so it needs for us, there is a need for us, I feel like, to look at her life. And as I've looked at her, I've learned great lessons from her. If I've counted correctly, and I think I have, she's mentioned four times as speaking in the Gospels. She speaks with the angel Gabriel. After Elizabeth, she sings her Magnificat. She speaks in the temple with Jesus. Son, why have you done this to us? And she speaks at the wedding at Cana. Her name is from the Hebrew name Miriam. And Miriam is mentioned, or Mary is mentioned, six times, but I should say that name is used by six different people in the New Testament and four in the Gospels. And so as you read the Gospels, it becomes necessary to try to see, when the name Mary is used, which Mary is being talked about. Okay, let's look at the text for tonight. We're going to look at the birth of Jesus, Luke 2, 1 through 7, and then Luke 2, 8 through 20. And after reading that, I've got some points that I want to make from this text here. So we're going to look at the birth of Jesus, and then right after the birth of Jesus with the shepherd and the angels. Luke 2, 1 through 7. Here we go. It came about in those days that a command went out from Caesar Augustus that all the Roman world should be registered in a census. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone returned to their ancestral towns to be registered. Joseph went up from his town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David. Joseph went to be registered with Mary because he was legally engaged to her, and she was expecting a baby. While they were there, the day arrived for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no lodging for them at the inn. Now, verse 8. There were shepherds in the same region out in the fields guarding the sheep during the night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord surrounded them. They were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Look, I bring you good news of great joy that will bring joy to all nations. For today a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. He is the Messianic King, the Lord. This is a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there appeared with the angel the army of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God Most High, and on earth peace to those who receive his good favor." The angel left them and returned to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this event that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried away and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a feeding trough. Seeing the child, they understood the words that had been spoken to them concerning the child. And all who heard the shepherd's story marveled at what they reported. But Mary treasured up these events, considered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, heard, and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I'm entitling this class, Mary's Journey. And the point of this class is to teach us that we need to treasure the journey that we're on. Mary had a journey with God and a journey with Jesus. And in the same way, all of us are on a journey with God and with Jesus. And when you look at the life of Mary, it is evident that the life of following Jesus is not a sprint. It's not even a half marathon. It's not even a marathon. It's an ultra marathon. And when you look at the life of Mary, you see all the years that she spent with Jesus, following Jesus, and then even after Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, Mary was still following Jesus. She is a great example of someone that has longevity in the journey. And I think sometimes we can get our eyes off the target a bit and fail to see this isn't a sprint. And it's not even a marathon. It's an ultra marathon. If you don't know what an ultra marathon is, ultra marathoners run distances of sometimes 30, 50, 100, 150, even 200 miles. That's an ultra marathoner. They often run through the night and through the day. And many of the best ultra marathoners are women. It's one of the reasons I picked that out as an image for us to think about, being on an ultra marathon, like Mary was on an ultra marathon spiritually. One report about ultra marathoners says, a recent analysis of more than 15,000 ultra events found that once the 195-mile threshold is crossed, get that, after you've run 135 miles, okay? It says female ultra runners are 0.6% faster than men. I mean, just imagine running 195 miles. But it says here that more women gain ground in ultra marathons than other long distance races. And they're really excelling in this. I'll give you a couple of examples. Carolyn Lubinsky, She ran the Badwater 135 miler in the Death Valley, California, in July of 2019. This course has been given the title the world's toughest race. It took Lubinsky over 33 hours to complete the course, but she completed the course and she won the race. There were male and female runners. She won the race. Another example is Maggie Gertl. She raced in a race. It's literally, you race until you drop. It was run in 2019. It's called the Big Dog Backyard Ultra. It's on a farm in Tennessee. And here's the concept, okay, get this. Every hour on the hour, the runners began a 4-mile loop over the farm. And Maggie was the last person standing. She ran, here it is, she ran 250 miles in 60 hours and won the race, okay? 250 miles in 60 hours without sleeping, okay? Stayed awake for 60 hours, ran 250 miles, and won the race. I'm trying to get you to see that this journey that we're on with Jesus, it's not about a sprint. It's not about running a mile. It's not even running about 26.2 miles, which is a marathon. It's about a lifetime, and it's about giving our lifetime to God. Now, when you translate that to what Mary did in her life, then you see she was the ultimate ultra marathoner spiritually, because she was there on the scene before Jesus was born, following God with devotion before Jesus was born. She was there in the middle of the life of Jesus and throughout the life of Jesus. And then at the end of Jesus' life, she was there. And then after Jesus died and rose and went to heaven, she continued on into the book of Acts. She was part of that early group in the book of Acts. She gave her whole life, all of it, from being very young to those 33 years with Jesus on past him, to glorifying God with her life. And that is so incredibly inspiring to me. I mean, especially now in my life, having been a disciple for so long, I understand that.
Josh, I'm not going to keep talking. Sprint, do you want the ones that put the jerk season in or what?
A marathon. I hope that you're seeing that now with me just putting this image in our mind. You might have heard that it was said, it's not important how you start, but it's important how you finish. I was actually taught this when I studied the martial arts. It's not important how you start, it's about the finish. But here's the thing that I've learned over the years. The start is important, the middle is important, and the finish is important. It's all important, every part of it. Because if you don't start, then you're never going to finish. And if at some point in the middle of it all, you get distracted and you end up walking away or not following God or just not doing your best spiritually, then you might not finish. And when you come to the finish, after putting all that time in with the start in the middle, go ahead and finish strong. Go ahead and be your best for God in your late years. So wherever you are in your spiritual journey, whether it's the beginning, it's the middle, or it's toward the end, do your best where you are and realize that you're on a journey. And take the journey, take every step of the journey and be grateful for where you are in life and learn the lessons that God wants to teach you right now. There's an interesting story that we might have an opportunity to look at in the life of Mary. And I'm sure many of you know the story where Mary and her family, they go out to meet Jesus at one point, and he's sitting with some of his disciples, and the brothers want to seize him. They want to take hold of him. And some of those who are sitting around Jesus, they say, Jesus, there's your family over there. And Jesus says, those who do the will of God, they're my family. And, you know, when you look at that, it's like, wow, did Mary have some doubt right there? What's going on in that scene? And it is a difficult scene. It's difficult to figure out what was going on. But there was something going on. And that's my point. If we have this idea that Mary was just constantly devoted with the same devotion that she had when she initially heard from the Holy Spirit what was going to happen to her, and the Magnificat came out of that, that's not the right picture of Mary. Mary, at different times, I'm sure that she went through the same emotions that we go through because she was human. And even the story of Simeon, he looked at her. He was talking to Joseph and her. This is at in the temple. When Mary was purified and they dedicated Jesus. And I'm probably going to preach about this on Sunday, but give you a little preview here. He whispered to Mary, or looked at Mary and said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your heart." Now imagine you're there with your newborn child wanting to enjoy the day of dedication, and you get a prophecy like that. I mean, that's a dark prophecy, and it must have hit her hard. But she continued on. My point is that there had to be bumps in her life, because there's bumps in all of our lives. There had to be times in which she had to just buckle down and follow, you know, just sort of grit your teeth and do it. Because that's the way life is for all of us. And we can only imagine the emotion that she must have felt when she was there with some other women watching Jesus be crucified. I mean, she was there at the scene, and you can only imagine the emotion that she felt at that time. And so Mary was tested throughout her life. She was tested with the ministry of Jesus. She was tested with the cross, and yet she passed all the tests, because she was an ultra marathoner spiritually, because she was along for the full journey. And that's my point, is the whole journey is what's important. And therefore, we start strong, we're strong in the middle of the race, and we finish the race strong. That really is the formula for growing spiritually all of our lives. That we just don't invest a little and to say, I'm going to float right now spiritually, because you don't ever really float spiritually. If you don't put something into it, then you're not going to mature the way you need to mature. We need to realize that it's a constant growth in our lives. And here's the thing that you see in the life of Mary, is she was never alone. God was always with her. The Holy Spirit was always there, and Jesus was there. And you know what? The same is true of all of us. We are never alone. We are always living in the presence of God. And so we think, I don't know if I can do it right now. Well, you don't have to do it alone. All you have to do is look around you and see God around you, or see the Holy Spirit there in your life. Also, you look on the screen and there's a community of people that are trying to do it with you. And so you're not alone, because you have a community of people that are there to help you. But we are on a journey. Mary's journey began very early in her spiritual life, because as soon as she was, you know, ready to give birth, all of a sudden now she and Joseph had to go down to Bethlehem because of a tax that wasn't planned. And so he had to go, and he had to enroll in this census. And so God took her on a journey at the very beginning of the life of Jesus. That was one part of the journey, but she went on many other journeys. We saw, those of us in the Hudson Valley, how she journeyed to be with her cousin Elizabeth, and got great comfort from being with Elizabeth. We will see in the story that she will flee to Egypt with Jesus. She'll return to Nazareth. She'll visit the temple with Jesus. She'll enjoy a wedding celebration in Cana of Galilee. she'll accompany Jesus throughout his ministry in Galilee and Judea. She'll be at the foot of the cross with Jesus. She'll be at the empty tomb waiting for Jesus. She'll be one of the first to announce the resurrection of Jesus to the world. She'll be in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend, for the church to begin in Acts. And so she is on this long journey with Jesus. And the whole time, she's not alone. God is with her. Jesus is with her. And the Holy Spirit is with her. So the journey is important. And throughout the journey, we do see that Mary was steadfast, that she was devoted, and that she was consistent. And along the way, we'll see also, as it says in the text tonight, that Mary will treasure the journey, treasure her memories on the journey. And I think that's one point that I want to make tonight is, how are you doing treasuring your journey? Do you remember the high points of your spiritual journey? Do you think back on when you studied the Bible and learned the truth of God's word? Do you think back to your baptism and remember your baptism? Do you think back to the times where you worked on things in your character and you saw breakthroughs because the Holy Spirit helped you to work on things in your character? Do you think back to the people that you helped become Christians? I mean, isn't it fantastic when you can think back and you can think of people? There might even be some people on the screen right now that you helped that person to become a Christian. And it is such a great feeling to see how their life has changed because you shared what you knew with them. But that's something that you can treasure. And I just want to encourage all of us, even this week, to spend a little time treasuring the highlights of our spiritual journey, because it makes us grateful. When you receive blessings from God and you look back on those blessings and you think about them, it gives you a sense of gratitude. And so I hope that you'll just take a little time this week and just write down, make some comments, even maybe write to some of the people that helped you on your spiritual journey, or write to some of the people that you think about when you think about the highlight of your spiritual journey, and just let them know that I thought about you today, and it really brings me great joy. Joy comes into my heart when I think about you. That's one of the things that Mary was able to do, to treasure things in her heart. And I think that that is a great insight for all of us. Do we treasure things in our heart? Another thing that I see about Mary, as I look at her journey, is I see the consistency of her journey. And let's face it, consistency is one of the most difficult things to have in your life, just to be consistent. But Mary was consistent. She persevered. She did not give up. She was there at the start. She was there at the finish. She had longevity, but her longevity came because of her consistency. And so when we think about our own spiritual journey, how consistent are you in your spiritual journey? In this part of the journey here that we're looking at tonight, Mary travels from north in Nazareth, south to Bethlehem, as I mentioned, because of the census. She is great with child. That's how the Bible puts it. And at that time, women tended to give birth in their homes. I'm sure that she had already made the plans in her home village of Nazareth to give birth, where she was going to give birth, the women that would be there to help her give birth, her midwife. That was all probably already planned out. But now she's uprooted and she goes all the way down, 5-day journey, all the way down to Bethlehem. You can imagine when Joseph breaks the news to her, hey, we have to go to Bethlehem. There's a census going on. And Mary must have wondered why she was going south on this journey when she was about to give birth any day. But she makes the journey, and as she makes the journey, we see the way that she trusts God. And that's part of the journey as well. When we're on the journey, we don't always get to pick and choose the things that happen to us in life. In fact, more times we don't get to do that than we do get to do that. But here's the thing that we can always choose. We can always choose our attitude. We can always choose our reaction. We can always choose to be faithful, no matter what we face in life. And Mary ended up doing that. That was the choice that she made. And so as I look at Mary, I think about these different aspects of her life, especially in this particular text that we're looking at tonight. At some point, as she gives birth, after she gives birth, I should say, there's the buying of sheep in the street and the shepherds come in. I don't imagine that Mary was too happy about seeing the shepherds poking their head into the barn. She might have felt like, well, this is their barn, not mine. I'm going to get evicted here. But when we look at what the shepherds say to her, we do see that Mary realizes that what she has done for God. And the great news of the Messiah is because of her faithfulness. So I can imagine the shepherd saying, is this Messiah? And as the text says, yes, Mary says. One of the shepherds might have said, can I hold him? And she's like, nope, that's not going to happen. Simeon actually does hold Jesus there at the temple. That's pretty amazing. And she might ask, well, how do you know about him? And they mentioned the angels. But Mary, at the beginning of this journey, has God there with her and the Holy Spirit with her, and now Jesus. And that's consistent throughout her life, as she has God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit there with her. At the very beginning of this journey, she had to learn to expect the unexpected. And another point that I want to make tonight is, in our journey with God, we have to expect the unexpected as well, because we follow a very unconventional king. He was born in a stable. He was wrapped in strips of linen. He was placed in a manger as a cradle. He was welcomed into the world by sheep and by shepherds. And when we think of Jesus, we have to learn to expect the unexpected. And that's true in our spiritual lives as well. But Mary treasured these events in her heart. And we need to continue to treasure the events and even the unexpected and unconventional and unorthodox ways that Jesus works in our lives today. Treasure the journey. So in closing, I just want to ask us all to spend a little time this week thinking about our journey that we're on and thinking about how we're doing right now, whether it's the start, the middle, or toward the end. How are you doing in your spiritual walk? And I want to ask all of us also to think about, do you see Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit? Do you recognize the presence of God in your life on this journey? And I hope that you'll take time this week to treasure the highlights of your spiritual journey. Maybe write them down, maybe journal about them. But make note of the ways that God has helped you in your spiritual journey. And be grateful for the ways that God has helped you in your spiritual journey. If you find yourself right now where there's a bit of inconsistency in your life, then I encourage you to work on that inconsistency, whether it's inconsistency in prayer or inconsistency in Bible study or inconsistency in connecting with other disciples. Consistency is a key to really doing well on this journey with God. And so if there's inconsistency there, I ask you just to think about it and figure out ways that you can be more consistent as a disciple. And I would ask all of us to go back and look at the life of Mary, especially what we've talked about here tonight, and think about ways in this story, even more ways in this story, that Mary speaks to you, and that through her life, she challenges you as you are on your journey with God. And let's remember, this is not a sprint. This is not even a marathon. This is an ultra marathon. This is about living our whole lives for God, and it's about longevity. And so as we wake up every day, we do our best every day to follow God, knowing that God is there with us and that he will always be present with us. So thank you for being here tonight, and I hope that you got something out of this lesson. We're going to now have another song to close out. And this song, again, is by the North River Church in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a fantastic song. I know that you're going to really enjoy it. It's called Lean on Me, a song I'm sure many of you are very familiar with. So, again, thank you for